Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. What an exciting last week plus we've had around here at Intentional Living. And just about an hour ago, many of you heard, we wrapped up the fundraiser for our Intentional Living Ministry. And I just want to say, on behalf of Stephen and Jennifer and the rest of our team, thank you so much for your prayers and for your support. The staff are still doing the final calculations, and we'll have a good report for everybody coming up next week. I do want you to know, however, that your support is still needed very much so to help us with the Intentional Living Ministry as we reach more people for Christ. And I want you to know that if you didn't get an opportunity for any number of reasons to join us, you can still do so. You can go to our website at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And you can share your gift and we'll get you included in this total I will be giving to you next week. So again, thank you all for your prayers and support for the ongoing ministries of our Intentional Living Center. We're going to be talking about the power of one thing in marriage. You've got some great stories coming up. You can always share yours as well, but I hope you'll spend some time and hear these stories for God's glory. So let's get started with Mary, who left a comment for us from California.
This is Mary in California. And I just want to give some things that I learned, and I really believe it was the Holy Spirit, that when I am not treating my husband with respect, I am not respecting God. When I'm not putting him first, I realize that I'm really not putting God first. And so I keep that in mind, and it really helps me through the day to treat him with respect and listen to what he has to say, because it's so easy for us to want to be right and want our way. And that's the one thing I've learned. And selfishness is a real hard thing to get rid of, but that's what I've been working on intentionally.
Mm. Hey, listen, and when you do that, it will change your marriage. One of the things I love about the research that John Gottman has done on marriage is it's based on actually observing thousands of couples, videotaping many of them, analyzing how they interact, because how we interact determines the success of the marriage. And one of the things he says is that successful marriages have learned how to soften their startups. In other words, arguments often start up because one partner, there's an escalation that begins. There's a conflict, there's something that's said, and then the other person raises it a little bit and says something even a little more critical or something that's really destructive in the marriage, and it goes to another level. When we learn to bring up problems gently in a marriage without blame or without pointing a finger. Because remember, we judge ourselves by our intentions. And maybe your intention is okay. You're thinking, I just want to get this problem fixed. Your intention might be good, but your spouse will judge you by their expectations. And if the expectation is, if you love me, you wouldn't speak to me that way. There's where we escalate. And so when Gottman says, soften your startup, one of the things that can make your marriage, if you're going to make it a habit, make your marriage work better, is be careful how you start discussions that could lead to, you know, more difficult kinds of discussions. Be kind, all right? Just a thought. I'll tell you, make a difference. Not only in marriage, by the way, it happens with your kids, teenagers, work, employees, coworkers. These principles are the same. All right, let's get to Janine is on the line in Michigan. Janine, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. What's your comment today?
It related to your point number 7 that talked about kindness, and I just felt very understood and heard by my husband in a conversation that we had yesterday. Mm. And it was a conversation where I kind of started with, I know this is a little thing and it doesn't matter to you. And he stopped me and said, if it matters to you, it matters to me. Wow. And it just touched my heart. And so I just loved that and felt that I should share that. But I was also hearing you just talk about the importance of startups.
Yes.
And another thing that we have done through the years is when we're going to have a conversation that you don't necessarily know where that's going to lead, we always try to start with I love you and pray together so that we set a tone that lets each of us know that we have the good of our marriage at the heart of that conversation.
Very important.
So it just seemed to tie really closely to that.
Did you share how many years you've been married?
15.
15 years.
Not enough.
Well, listen, you keep doing what you're doing. You guys do that. You got many more years ahead if God tarries and your health, you know, you can live through the years ahead. But that's how 50-year marriages last. Learning to do the next right one thing and being intentional with the habits that we have in the relationship. Powerful.
Thank you.
All right.
And thank you for all you do.
Glad to do it. Thank you for your call, Janine.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. All right.
That's how you go from 15 to 25 years and beyond. Listen, I've got the top 10 list on love and respect. We've got more from Dr. John Gottman. We're going to get to all of these here in just a few moments, along with some other calls. Doug's on the line. We'll find out what his one thing is in Arizona coming up in a minute. Here's one thing that my wife Donna tells me that I need more of in my life. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. She says, Randy, you need to have more fun. I tend to be overloaded with stressors in my life and I let them weigh me down. So be sure you enjoy one another in your marriage. Be more playful in your relationship. Find ways to express fun times together and humor and enjoying each other. Find shared interest and make time to share those activities with each other. You know, the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18, that you are to let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. And I love being with Donna. I enjoy the anticipation of times together. One of the things I'm working on, I invite you to join me, is to have more fun. And when you do, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
Hi, I'm just calling in to make a comment on what I'm doing intentionally for my marriage and towards my husband. He is not saved, but I'm praying for him every day. That's one thing I'm doing. But also, 1 Peter 3:5, I'm trying to live it out with his wife. Be submissive to your husband, even though they are not in the Word. For by your conduct, they shall be won over. And since I've been doing that for the last couple of years, he is now going to church. He's going twice a week. He still hasn't made that commitment in his heart yet, but faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the Word of God, and he's way further than when he was several years ago.
Well, that's amazing. You know, that word submission is something that it kind of causes a lot of people to rebel. And yet the scripture tells us not only in the context of that relationship, but the verse earlier, it tells us in Ephesians 5:21 that we're to be mutually submissive one to another out of obedience and respect for Christ. In other words, when we submit to each other in ways that seem to be counterculture, counter to our world in which we live, God blesses those moments. We're not talking about being a doormat. We're not talking about being run over or violating our conscience. We're not talking about that kind of submission. We're talking about knowing there are times we can stand back and let God do the work in a person's life. That's such a powerful reminder. So thanks for sharing that with us. You know, today we're at a point where we're wrapping up this special campaign that we've had for the last week, and we've had friends calling from all over the country, and we've had friends online, and we've got so many new members who have said, we want to be a part of Living Intentionally. And I just want to say two things. One is thank you for your support. And secondly, if you're not supporting this radio station, I hope you will. These folks are making a difference in your life, and they allow us to come alongside and be a part of this ministry, and we thank them for doing that. When you join us today, if you could join us for $1 a day, $30 a month, or annualized at that amount, we'll make sure that you receive a copy of my latest book, Freedom from Hijacked Emotion, the brand new workbook that goes along with it, and the QR code access to the videos. What do you do? Call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com right now. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Talking marriage, one thing for marriage today. Doug is in Arizona. Doug, what's your one thing, my friend?
You know, every morning, me and my wife, we do what they call daily devotional reading. Mm. And we kind of quiz each other and tease each other on it every day. And I'm pretty sure that she relies on, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, especially when she's married to me and dealing with me every day. And it's like, you know, we've been together for 29 years, and I hear people saying, oh, it's tough, it's this and that. And it's like, I really don't see the fighting and the battle when it comes to me and my wife. And it's like, you know, the best secret is don't get to know her right away. She doesn't know me right away, and we're always evolving and changing for the better, if you will.
So when you have a problem, when you have a disagreement, Doug, how do you guys work it out?
You know, we rely on common sense. It's not I win, she wins, although we do teach each other that way. But usually it's common sense is what wins. And that's the way it is. You know, you pray about it, and you look at it, and you think about it, and it's what's commonsensical, and that's what wins.
Now, I heard you say twice with teasing each other. Is that sort of a part of your relationship? You kind of keep it light so you don't get too deep?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, laughter is good for the soul, you know. And I promised in my wedding vows to keep her laughing at least 3 times a week. And I have not yet failed.
Interesting. Well, yeah. You know, it says in the scripture that laughter doeth good like a medicine. And I agree with you totally. Life is serious. We got, you know, there's health issues and kids and finance. And it's very easy to slip into the business side of relationships, all the stuff you got to manage and organize. And if we don't rise above it and keep some laughter, freshness, spontaneity in a marriage, after a while it can become routine, and routine can kill a relationship.
Right. Yeah. Try to spice it up if you can, you know?
Yeah, that's important. Now are you kind of the one that is the spontaneous one in the marriage, or is she as well?
I'm the spontaneous one in the marriage. I'm the one that's always looking for the little devious ways of keeping laughter coming around. But she does it in a quiet way. You know, she's the one that does it. You don't find out till way later that you've been hit. You know? Yeah. So that's kind of good. Like today.
Yeah.
I was using the car, and I was coming down. I was coming down Almaco and Main Street, and I ran out of gas just a few, maybe 60 or 70 yards away from Circle K. It wasn't much, but it was a dangerous little intersection, you know. But what was good about it is that everybody was cool, calm, and collective, and, you know, and I pushed the car into the Circle K and got gas, you know. When I came home, we kind of giggled about it, and she said, I'm so sorry, you know. But it's no great big deal, you know. I mean, well, you know, that's how life is, you know. You got to just accept it, you know.
You're my guy, Doug. Listen, there are people who say, run out of gas 60 yards from Circle K and ruin my whole day.
Yeah.
You let it go.
Ragger about it, you know, we laugh about it, and then just let it go, you know. That's what you got to do, just let it go.
Well, you also got to keep gas in the car, though, Doug.
Yeah, I do, but she doesn't.
Oh, that was the real story, huh?
Yeah.
She didn't have gas in the car.
Yeah.
All right. Well, see, listen, now there have been some guys that have gone home and really gotten on her case for that. And you can do that in a way of just sharing and have a little fun and keep it light and make sure she's got money in the pocket so she can get gas in the car. So, or you have to fill it for her, right? You should be filling it.
Yeah, well, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give her the receipt. Reimbursement is the next battle.
Yeah. Okay, my friend. Thanks for your call, Doug.
All right. God bless you.
Yeah, he is. And you made my day. Hey, listen, we're more like Doug and his wife. I think we'd be better off. Come on, guys. We get so serious, and it can become so overwhelming in our relationships. It can drag us down. I wrote some things about thinking about some of the truths about the power of attitude in marriage. And I said, a good attitude will help your marriage succeed. Many times marriages fail not because of a lack of love, but because spouses don't have a good attitude. We wear each other down with negativity. Why didn't you put gas in the car? I mean, come on, you know, those kinds of things. And if they continue in a relationship, can wear us down. Your attitude has a huge impact on your life. Unsuccessful people seem to find something wrong even in good times, while successful people strive for an attitude of gratitude even in the bad times. Find something good. Speak encouragement into your life. Discouraged people discourage other people, and they discourage marriage. They really do. Okay, we'll come back. I got some more thoughts here from Dr. Gottman, his 7 things to improve your marriage. I'll get to another one or two here in a moment. But let's go to Pauline in Arizona. Pauline, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate your call. What's your comment today?
Oh, my comment is about, let's say, in my marriage, there's a lot of, things which you can solve. There's some things which you can just let it go. But,
yeah.
You know, like, mine, the way I can really want to change. Sorry for my English. I'm from the Congo, so.
Well, I'm glad you called. You're doing fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in my marriage, the thing I can change, I can really, really working hard on changing is like when we're passing through troubles, instead of talking about it, my partner doesn't talk about it. It'll be just quiet until, you know, we'll figure it out. And after that, it's gone. But side of mine, you'd be like, I'm kind of mad. I can stay a week, 2 weeks. We're not talking to each other. So sometimes it hurts me. Sometimes I'm like, okay, that's how it is. Let's just let it be. We've been married for 10 years, and it's been going on just like that. So
let me see if I understand, yeah. Pauline. There might be something that's bugging you, that's troubling you, that you want to talk about.
Yeah.
And he doesn't talk about it, kind of buries it.
Yes.
And he moves on, but you still linger with being upset. Are you upset that he's not talking to you about it, or are you upset that the problem didn't get fixed, or both?
Both.
Yeah. So this not only the problem doesn't get fixed, but we didn't even talk about the problem.
That's the thing.
Yeah. And why do you think he doesn't want to talk about it?
I don't know. Is this a person is kind of himself. He doesn't like talking, anything like that. But when you guys are growing up together, you should know each other. Okay, this one likes this. This one, she doesn't like this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should change the way we're living, or maybe we should stop this and change it and start a new thing. But if your partner doesn't want to talk about it, doesn't want to give you ideas, no, let's do this, let's do that. In terms of you're just keeping quiet, you're building something in your heart which is one day is going to explode, you see?
Yeah, these are important things to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you talked to him about that and shared that these are important things that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I'm the only person who talks too much in the house, so.
Yeah, so he thinks you talk too much?
Yeah, he thinks I talk too much, so that's the thing.
Yeah, well, you're the type of person then, Pauline, that you want to talk about things, you want to discuss things. I'm wondering in his mind, because he sounds like maybe he's he's quieter, if he's concerned if he starts talking about things, they'll never end.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the best thing I can wish, like, God to help me. That's the thing I've been praying all the time, God to help me, like, figure out or jump into another step for person to change.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because...
Can I give you a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
Just a suggestion. this is not uncommon. You get two people in a relationship in marriage, and one is, you know, let's talk, let's resolve, let's get to the bottom of it, you know, and really that's important. The other person, they're more thinking, more philosophical, processing things differently, and they feel overwhelmed in those kinds of settings. A compromise might be to say, you know, honey, I love you, but there are times we need to talk about some things. We've got some issues that are important, and I know that I can be overwhelming, and I know I can bring a lot of things to the table. I can bring 10 things to an agenda, to a discussion. Could we have one thing, just one topic, and could we spend maybe 3 nights a week just for a half hour, and we'll schedule it like 7 to 7:30, or right after the kids go to bed, just for that period of time. We won't start before, we won't go later, just for those 30 minutes, and here's just one topic. and you put it on the refrigerator. You kind of say, hey, tonight we just want to talk about, should we be staying in this house? I think you brought up something about living or moving or whatever. What would be the pros and cons of us staying here or moving? Let's just talk about it for a half hour. Just pray about it. And at the end of, you know, we start at 7. By 7:30, we'll wrap it up. Then I would encourage you, Pauline, when you get there, not to dominate the discussion, just to throw out the question. Have a question that you want to discuss and just listen. You might have to sit there quietly for a while. Maybe nothing's being said. There's power in silence. You know, you throw out the question, mention it, talk a little bit, and just see what happens. Does that sound like something that you could try with your husband?
I would try it. I've been trying all these days. I've been really trying really hard.
All right. Well, if you put it into a time schedule, maybe that'll be helpful. All right. We'll be praying for you, Pauline. I'm glad you're listening, and you came through loud and clear. We're talking about marriage today. Got a few more thoughts for you before we wrap up the show here in just a couple minutes.
I turn on Intentional Living with my husband, and just whatever has come up that day have just been spot on to what we were going through at that moment.
Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson made a difference in Felicia's life and marriage. And when you give, you help people like Felicia live an intentional life for Christ.
During our spring fundraiser, support the ministry of Intentional Living. When you do, you'll be a part of a special group that gets unlimited access to content from Dr. Randy's exclusive monthly teachings from the past 2 years.
So don't wait. Give $30 a month or more, or a special gift of $360. And you'll also receive Dr. Randy's book, Freedom from Hijacked Emotions, Overcoming Anxiety, Anger, and Fear, along with a companion workbook and video guides.
To give and receive these life-changing resources, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, I just want to say thanks to those of you who've been responding to that call. You have been calling our number this week, sharing your prayer need with us, joining us in support, or going online. Thank you for doing that. You're making a difference, and I'm looking forward to being able to give a great report in the days ahead about some things that God is doing to move this ministry forward with even greater passion and vigor to impact people for Christ. Your support's helping us do that. For the radio, for our podcast, for everything that we do on streaming, for our events, publications, and the things that we produce, you're part of a ministry that's making a difference. Thank you. All right, here's what you can do. We've been holding the phone line this week for one purpose, so it's sort of my last opportunity to remind you, give us a call right now. Get in on this special opportunity to be a part of Intentional Living. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Or call that special number, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. And I just want to say on behalf of my wife, Donna, and Stephen, and Jennifer, and the rest of the team, God bless you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for standing with us. And together we can make a difference to figure out what pleases Christ and then do it, as it says in Ephesians. And we get a chance to do this together. And thank you for your support. Again, 888-888-1717.
Hi. Yes, I'm a man of experience now because I'm turning 80. But going back years ago when my wife was on this earth, we knew that we had to compromise. So once we worked that out and we're doing our share or a little more, and not arguing about what the other person was maybe falling short at, our marriage improved. And we went to church every Sunday, got on our knees together every night, and we prayed together.
Thank you, Chuck. We're going to hear from Brenda. Right after Brenda, I'm going to share with you a couple more of the points from John Gottman on the top 7 ways to improve your marriage, based on just years of research. These are very practical. Get to those in just a moment. But first, let's go to Brenda with a comment she left from Tennessee.
My intentional living is to exhort my husband and to tell him how much I love him and how much I thank him for working and taking care of us. I exhort him daily, and even when I don't feel like it, not only exhort my husband, but to show him physically, with physical touch, that I love him and that I'm not afraid to be seen with him, by running my hands through his hair, touching him on the cheek at church, just that touch. There's so much in that touch. That's what every person desires, is to just feel loved and to know they're loved. And so that's just part of my intentional living, is that physical touch for my husband.
Mm. Thank you. That's powerful. I mentioned John Gottman. By the way, he's written many books, and he's a go-to kind of a guy when you're looking for tips on marriage. And he wrote these top seven ways to improve your marriage. Let me give you two from the list. He says, learn to repair and exit the argument. Happy couples have learned how to exit an argument and how to repair the situation before an argument gets completely out of control. And one of the things he says is using humor. Do you remember just a couple minutes ago, we talked with a gentleman who uses a lot of humor in their marriage? Humor is a powerful thing. Offering caring remarks. I understand this is hard for you. I know it's difficult for you. Learning to be kind and soft in terms of your communication. If we can learn and apply the repair and exit strategies from arguments in your marriage, you'll be better off. Another one, he says, on his top seven list, is focus on the positive. In happy marriages, while discussing problems, couples make at least five times as many positive statements to and about each other and their relationship as negative ones. Did you get that? Five times as many positive as negative. Think about your communication with your spouse over the last 24 hours. Is it five times as many positive comments as negative comments? Good marriages have a rich climate, Gottman says, of positivity, making regular deposits to emotional bank accounts in marriage. Well, there's so much more, but I hope we gave you some things today that'll be practical for you. You're welcome to share your comments with us, your one thing for your marriage, on our comment line. Just give us a call, 888-888-1717. If you missed any part of today's program, or want to hear it again on demand, just go to theintentionallife.com, or you can go wherever you find your podcasts. We're there, and we hope you'll enjoy the show we put together every day for you. And again, thanks to those of you who are supporting the ministry. Thank you for your prayers and your support. See you next time from Intentional Living.